Open your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6, and while you're going there, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. What an amazing day, Father God. Such wonderful worship. So many folks, Lord God, following you in obedience. Father, those that stood in that baptismal tank, Father, and the testimonies from their lips, Lord, we just rejoice. But Father, this morning, as we get into the Word, Father, we need you. We need you, Lord, to open our hearts and minds to receive this Word. Because, Father, it's ultimately got to get in us, and it's got to change us, Father God. It's got to change the way we go about life. So, Father, this morning, we pray for your anointing. I pray, Father, that it would open our hearts to receive this. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen and amen. This is Ephesians chapter 6, and just skip forward a couple of verses to verse number 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Man, this is one of those portions of Scripture right there that if you don't get what God's talking about here, you're going to miss a whole lot of stuff. Because, folks, he's talking about us becoming militants. Amen? Last week, you know, I encouraged folks to be mean Christians. Not mean to one another, not mean to people. But it says that we wrestle against not flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Folks, I want to tell you something. You can turn up the thermostat of mean on the devil anytime you want. Now this morning, before we kind of recap where we were last week and then jump into this week's message, let me just tell you that, you know, of folks coming to the Lord, getting born again, having that experience where he takes away their sins, and man, they're brand new in Christ Jesus. I can tell you as a pastor, just being in ministry for many years, what I've seen is, I've seen folks that have come, and man, it just seems like that they just get it, and they give it back to the devil, and they just kind of live this victorious Christian life. But now there's another group of people. It seems as though sometimes they come to the Lord and indeed they've had a true born-again experience, but it seems like that they just get kicked around and kicked around and kicked around. And then there's another group. They have a true born-again experience, but it seems that the enemy just gets on top of everything that they touch. And before very long, their Christian experience just begins to wane because they're just constantly underneath such a barrage that the enemy throws at them. And before very long, they're not numbered among the born again anymore. Are you with me? So some people live that victorious life. Some people just kind of muddle through and just barely make it. And some people actually fall away. Now this morning, I'm going to just tell you something. I'm for you, not against you. But when I look at this group of people, one of the things I'm saying is, man, I want you to make it in Jesus' name. Amen? I want you to make it in Jesus' name. Because the bottom line is, whenever it comes to Christianity, there's just way too many shipwrecks. Now Jesus Christ came, and this is kind of a look into his death and resurrection. You see, Satan thought he had him beat. Are you with me? I mean, Jesus was crucified on the cross and he was laid in the tomb and he was graveyard dead. He was dead, heart not beating, no electrical currents going through his body, no respiration. He was dead. And he lay in that tomb for 3 days. And you see, all of hell thought that he was defeated. In fact, his own followers thought he was defeated. But this is the amazing part about it. The Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. Woo! I'm sorry. But now see, if you read the same Scripture I did, what you guys can do is interject your name right in there. You can say, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead and dwells in Pastor, it dwells in me too. And then you guys, if you wanted to, you could go, woo! There you go. See, it's worth it. Because you see, whenever Satan thought Jesus was dead and he had won the victory, the Spirit of the living God literally entered that tomb where Jesus lied dead. And man, I don't know exactly how it happened, but I will tell you this. It was awesome. And Jesus came out of that tomb alive forevermore. And let me just tell you something. Of all the battles and all the fights, all the things the enemy can come against your life, and he can try to get you to live in a defeated realm in your Christian walk, maybe even take you a step lower than that, and he can try to get you to literally drop away from the Christian faith. Of all of those attacks, there's not one of them that rise to the level of death. You see, death is our ultimate enemy. Ultimate enemy. Man, he could come against your health, he could come against your finances, and nothing rises to the level of death. And Jesus Christ conquered death. And now the same Spirit that raised him from the dead lives inside of me. And he's saying, come on, bring them on, buddy. I've conquered death. The greatest of all enemies, man, bring them on. Everything else are chumps to death. Come on. This is not in my notes. This is all free. You guys don't even have to pay for it this morning. And so that kind of brings us to where we were last week. See, coming across our identity in Jesus Christ. Too many people have paid this enormous price for not knowing who they are fully in Jesus Christ. You know, I'm saved. I'm a child of God. But folks, the thing is, we are at war. And we've got to go from the promise of being children of God to the power that He's created us to live in. We've got to know who we are in Christ. We're sons of God, and that's a wonderful promise. But we've got to begin to live like warriors of God. And so how do you live as a winner? Well, first of all, you can't just live in the potential of God's Word. Whenever you read this and it says put on the whole armor of God, that the shield of faith, that you can quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. All of the fiery darts. I used to love to visually illustrate this to the kids, and so one of the things I did is I took flash paper. Flash paper looks just like normal paper, but whenever you light it on fire, it just burns really bright, burns really big, and it burns absolutely without any smoke or any kind of debris left. It just totally consumes itself. And so one day at a kids' camp in New Mexico, I was preaching. We made a whole bunch of fiery darts. We laid them all up, and we tested a few of them just to make sure they were long enough so I didn't set any kids on fire whenever I threw them off the platform. I was hoping they'd burn out just before they got to the kids. Just put a little paper clip on the end of them so as that it would launch out there. And it was so awesome. We were in a brand new chapel, had brand new carpet on the floor. Can you know where we're going with this? In New Mexico, they have these things called swamp coolers. And what they do is they actually humidify the air to bring cool air into the building. And that's what had happened. And so my flash paper sitting there for an hour or so, it got a little bit humidified. So I'm telling the kids, all right, quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. That's what your shield of faith does. And Renee lit it on fire, and I threw it out there. And the first one, whoosh, it was so cool. The kids go, oh, this is awesome. I was doing it too. This is really awesome. My mom used to spank me for playing with fire, and now I got paid to do it. You know what I'm saying? So she lit another one. It was awesome. It just burned up. She lit another one. I threw it, and it kind of went out in midair. And then it dropped onto the floor. And then it went, whoosh. And so I ran out there and I stomped it because the carpet was on fire. That was bad. It was brand new carpet. I made all the kids raise their right hand and promise not to tell anybody I had done that. You see, whenever the enemy throws real fiery darts at us, folks, you have to understand, we have a shield of faith that will quench all of them. We have to know how to live that. To live that. Not just the potential of it, but the reality that this shield of faith that I have, but I'm telling you, the enemy cannot penetrate it. So who we are is important. Who God says we are is important. But folks, more than who He says we are, more than who we think we are, we can also do what he says we can do. Come on. Soldiers, warriors of Almighty God. So everybody's in Christ is in this grand cosmic war. No one is excluded from this. We have to learn how to apply those basics of spiritual warfare, because folks, all of us are getting picked on. Amen? If there's any of you that are excluded from this and the enemy's not coming knocking at your door, man, I want to know what you're doing. I want to know if you're living in a bunker or something. I wonder if you're alive. Because I believe if you're alive, you're in this grand cosmic war. And we've got to learn how to dress up and enter into spiritual warfare. We've got to learn how to fight, and we've got to learn how to fight to win. We've got to learn how to protect ourselves from the attacks that the evil one is going to bring us. We've got to learn how to protect our family. We've got to learn how to protect ministries that are around us. And so last week we talked about people. How all of these people are in this battle, and in this, I kind of explained it a minute ago, there's the victors. People that are experienced victory in their Christian walk, and there's the casualties, those that are lost in the conflict, and it's a very real conflict. And then there's those people that are held in captivity. Captive to one thing or another. Folks, how many of you understand you can be held captive to a bad habit? You can be held captive to a lust. The way your mind thinks, it can hold you captive. You can be held captive by false teaching. Come on. And then there's the last group, people who just walk around wounded. Well, first of all, last week we talked about this war being real. It's real. And the battle is, as I said a minute ago, it's universal. Everybody is in the midst of it. But in this battle, I believe there's three areas or three arenas that the Satan comes against us. One is he attacks your mind. Man, if you're living, he is attacking your mind. He's infecting you. He's inflicting you. He's twisting your thinking. Past the mind, there's another arena, and it is the physical arena. He touches things, tangible things that are around us. He brings adversity. He brings hardship. He brings trials, tribulations, persecution, sickness. That's what Satan does. And then thirdly, he brings attack to relationship. If you're married, can I ask you a question? Have you ever had a fight? Do you realize that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers? Are you with me? So we don't fight against our husband and wife. We're really fighting against a principality that is bent on destroying your marriage. Because folks, I want to tell you something. Nothing makes the enemy more happy than destroy marriages. If he can break up a home, man, I want to tell you something. He does a jig. He does a dance. Because he has destroyed something that is so perfect in the eyes of God. So he attacks relationship. He attacks families, marriages, friendship. He attacks unity. And so this morning, one of the things that I want to happen is I want us to be heard. I want us to be hearing this in our spirit, not just our mind. Because folks, I got to tell you, we need to be soldiers for Jesus Christ. We need to get militant, man. We need to say, man, Satan, I'm going to tell you something. You've been touching my finances lately, and in Jesus' name, I'm fixing to kick your hunkarukus. Can y'all make the translation there, hunkarukus? I know I'm talking pretty tough, but this morning, folks, I want to tell you, I am tough because greater is he that lives in me than he that lives in the world. Are you with me? We have ultimate power through Jesus Christ. Jesus gave us his authority. And by the way, if you don't know how much authority Jesus has, the Bible says all authority has been given unto him. So he has allowed us to walk in his authority. He gave us power. And so in that, we've got to learn how to apply that power. And last week, as we left off, I'm just going to tell you something. I'm crying out to this body of believers, and I'm saying, no more casualties. No more casualties. No more shipwrecks. I don't want to hear somebody coming in and saying, man, this is what the enemy has done to my family. This is what the enemy has done to my finances, to my mind. I don't want any more casualties. Because folks, I believe this. I believe we're about to enter into perhaps one of the most evil times of all generations that have ever lived. It's prophetic. It's all in the Word of God. And if we're not there, we're really close to being there. And all it's going to do is get worse as the time comes for Jesus Christ to come back and get His church. Folks, we have got to be able to fight. And we got to be able to win. I don't want to go into a fight and say, man, I hope I can get beat in this fight. Come on. If I get into a fight, I want to say, listen, I'm winning this thing in Jesus' name. The devil's not going to have my kids in Jesus' name. He's not going to have them. He's not going to have their minds. He's not going to have their hearts. Christ is going to have that. Come on now. We can't just learn to fight. We've got to learn to fight and win. So now that brings me to today. If we're going to learn to fight and we're going to learn to win, then we have to do whatever it takes to do that. Are you with me? Whatever it takes, I'm going to be a winner. I'm not just going to muddle through this Christian walk. I am going to come through this thing victorious so that whenever I get to heaven, and man, I am victorious over it all, I'm not going to be shocked. I'm not going to walk around heaven just going, oh man, this is what victory looks like. Because I'm going to have victories right here on this planet in Jesus' name. So the first thing you got to do, if you're going to go out and fight, and you've made up your mind, not only am I going to fight, but I'm going to win this thing, is you have got to be prepared. You've got to prepare yourself. You've got to do whatever it takes to get yourself in a position where you can fight and you can win. In other words, make sure you're covered. Because you see, that was Ephesians chapter 6 talks about putting on most of the armor of God. Man, you're a cranky bunch. Just get one word off. But you're right. Make sure you're covered with the armor of God. Let me just tell you what we've got a lot of. We've got a whole bunch of Christians running around out there with the helmet of salvation. Now close your eyes and get that picture. Woo! That's not enough covering, man. You need the breastplate of righteousness. You need your feet shod with the gospel preparation. You need to have the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, everything that God has prescribed for you, you need it all. Be prepared. Before you go off and start mouthing to the devil, be sure that you're ready to fight and win. I had a good friend that I worked with, and he said that his father owned a small grocery store, and he said whenever he was about 15, 16 years old, you know, he was getting pretty good size and, you know, he was feeling his, you know, oats or whatever you want to call it. And his father asked him to do something in the store and my friend kind of mouthed off to his dad. So his dad just kind of walked over to him and said, let me just tell you something, son. You're old enough now to be whipped like a man. Hoo-yah! You're old enough now to be... I've used that on my own kids since they were about 3 years old. I used to tell them that. They don't know what whip like a man means, but that's all right. If I got my bluff in them, that's all that counts. My friend, he said, man, I backed down. He said, I had no idea. I had no idea what it meant to be whipped like a man, but I didn't want to experience it. Folks, this is what we got to do. We've got to get prepared. We've got to be covered with the armor of God. We have to have the shield of faith. We have to have the sword of the Spirit. Or let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to get whipped like a man. Let me tell you something. You are no match for the enemy. Come on now. You are no match. I am no match. But man, whenever we get the armor of God, whenever we get the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, whenever Jesus Christ is alive and living inside of us, let me tell you something. Y'all ready? Satan's got a big problem in that. Yes, he does. See, whenever you're all dressed up in that armor, whenever you look like a champion, you realize that they know to take as much protection and training, weapons as possible. They come against you, you're going to defeat them because you are the champion that God has created you to be. You got to keep up your defenses. I mean, in boxing, that's one of the first things you learn is keep up your defenses or they're going to hit you. And let me tell you something about boxing. It hurts when they hit you. You see, if you're going to win, don't be stupid. Get yourself covered. Don't be overconfident because that's called pride. And pride will get you into trouble. I really believe that pride is one of these huge causes of spiritual defeat many times in our life. Jesus talks about the dangers of being of not being prepared. We got to be prepared. Not overconfident, but prepared. In Luke 1:17 it says, He will also go before him in the spirit of power of Elijah and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Prepare. Those that are uncovered and unprotected, they're the ones that are often damaged the most. The time to get prepared is before the battle begins. The time to get prepared is now. Folks, please, may I communicate this just one more time? There are too many shipwrecks in the kingdom. There are too many casualties. There are too many broken and hurting people because the enemy has taken advantage of them. The time to prepare is now. Put on the whole armor of God. And you know, I don't want to stand up here this morning and let you think anything but the truth. I have to tell you, there's been many times that I have been totally unprepared for the fight. I'm just straight with you. And whenever I've been totally unprepared for the fight, let me tell you what happens. I come away losing. I come away and the enemy has taken something precious from me. The enemy has run amok in my family. Come on. I've been there. I've been unprepared for the fight. It's just like your credit card. You know, what is that? American Express, Discover, Visa. It says don't leave home without it. Or maybe that's Dr. Pepper. I don't know. But don't get out there unless you're prepared. And so to be prepared means to stay in shape, stay trained, stay in discipline, study the Word of God, develop your spiritual muscles. Develop your spiritual muscles. Learn to fight with those spiritual muscles. You see, I believe something happens that is so amazing whenever Christians learn how to fight. See, and I gave you all permission last week to be mean Christians. In fact, I'd love to have the meanest church in all of the community here. Just mean Christians. Not mean to one another. Don't fight over the chicken this morning. Okay, nice to one another. Nice to people. But mean to the enemy. I want to have testimonies of how the enemy come against you. And you said, man, Satan, you're not going to have one little bit of piece of that. I'm taking you down in Jesus' name. You come in and say, Pastor, I want to tell you something. Man, last week, I got mean. I mean mean to the bone. I was mean, frothing at the mouth mean. You see, whenever Christians learn how to fight, whenever they study and they pray, something amazing happens. I tell you one thing that really happens that's so cool. And none of you probably struggle with this besides myself, but whenever you learn to pray, whenever you learn to fight, whenever you learn how to study the Word of God and get it in the inside of you, there's a whole lot less worry whenever you know you can win. Come on, I mean, seriously. Whatever you know, you can win. Folks, I got to tell you, there's too many people that are scared for their health today. Are you realize that? Oh, my mother had this, so you know, it's hereditary, it's running in the family. And they worry themselves sick about it. Oh, my father, you know, heart disease is in my family. My father died, my grandfather died with heart disease. And please don't misunderstand me. I understand all that hereditary stuff. Because I'm crazy like my mom and dad sometimes. So, you know, I know it's there. But can I just tell you something? The Bible, you know, Job was this amazing guy. And he had such prosperity and such blessing in his life. But the Bible says whenever all these things begin to happen to him, these calamities that begin to befall him, one of the things the Bible says is what he dreaded, what he greatly feared came upon him. Does that tell you something? Job sat around and thought about it all the time. He thought about all the horrible, unbelievable things that could possibly happen to him. And folks, let me tell you something. You sit around and think about all these health problems. Let me just get you to do what I do. You see, a few years ago, I got adopted. And my father doesn't have any health problems anymore. Come on. I say, whenever I go to the doctor's office, you know, I'm having to write down my family history and everything. I just put everything's good. Because it is. And if something comes against my life, let me tell you something. It is by His stripes I am healed. I win. You worry a whole lot less. So what? If my whole family's sick and crazy, I don't have to be in Christ Jesus. You know, the Roman Empire, one time, it was this massive, massive empire. And they just took over the known world for the most part. But how many of y'all know that the Roman Empire came to an end? It actually collapsed. Do you know why it collapsed? Because they began to hire professionals to fight for them. Mercenaries. They began to hire people. Say, you go out and fight for us. But this is what happened, you see. Whenever the battle really got hard, the hired people walked away. They said, I'm not a Roman. I don't care if this place is theirs or not. And they just skedaddled. Let me tell you what happens a lot of times in churches. Congregations hire a pastor to fight for them. Come on. I didn't think that was going to get a lot of traction. But you can misunderstand this and you can take this the wrong way. And please don't. Because I love to pray for you. I love to pray for the concerns that you have in your life. And I love to believe God for victory there. Okay, so I prefaced it by saying this. But have you ever thought about something? Whenever there's a crisis going on in my family, who do you think I call? Are you there with me? Some of you are, and some of you are saying, I don't like what he's saying. No, I learned a long time ago, I'm the one that gets to go to the Father. Come on. And please don't misunderstand me. I enjoy praying for you. I want you to pray for me. I want us to pray for one another. Are you there? But understand this. This fight is ours. It's ours. It's about my family. It's about your family. And you can't hire it done. Don't count on me because I might let you down. You come and say, you've been praying for me, Pastor? I go, it's March Madness. Didn't you know I wouldn't be praying through March Madness? You know, fantasy basketball, fantasy football, it's all great and people get excited about it. But have you ever noticed that all the people get excited about all these fantasy leagues? They're not in the game. And this morning I'm saying get prepared. Get in the game. Hallelujah. Get prepared. Man, start getting a hold of this word and what God says to us. What God says we can do to these principalities, these powers, these rulers, the wicked rulers that control the areas that you and I are in. Get a hold of what He says we can do to them through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the Word of God, through the name of Jesus. Be prepared. Second thing we got to do is, everybody smile while I say this. Because this is one of those things that whenever I say it, it's going to bring just a leap of joy in your spirit. Are you ready? Second thing we got to do is be submitted. Whew, man, that's good, isn't it? Be submitted. Submit. Submit. How many of y'all ever played uncle? You know where you get to hold each other's hands and you twist them until somebody goes, uncle, uncle, uncle. And you loved it. Every time you had to say uncle, didn't you love it? How many of y'all had bigger brothers or sisters that were mean to you? I did. I've had counseling for the last 30 years because of it. My brothers terrorized me whenever I was little. He said, my brothers were so much bigger than me and so much stronger than me. They could hold me by the forehead and I'm swinging for everything I'm worth and I couldn't touch them. Oh, I hated that. Oh, I hated that. Oh, I hated that. Or they'd sit on top of me. Hold me down. I couldn't move. I mean, I just flat couldn't move. They were just so much bigger than me. And they're uglier than me too, by the way. I just needed to throw that in. And you know, they'd sit there right over my head and they'd let a little stringer spit go down. And just about the time it was fixing to disconnect, they'd suck it back up. Oh, I hated being set on, but I hated being spit on even more. And every once in a while, they'd goof up and not get it sucked up fast enough and it'd land right on me. Ugh. Ugh. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about submission, because that's basically what they did. They made me submit against my will. I had a friend in high school that was about 3, maybe 4 years older than I was. I think he had been held back a couple of years, but he graduated, I think, whenever I was a freshman, and I was probably a junior by this time, so he had been out of school a little bit, and he got into a scrape with law enforcement that was there, and I just happened to be in one of the law enforcement officers' cars because that was my dad, and I had to watch all this go down. And he was driving while under the influence of alcohol, and they told him that they were going to arrest him, and he says, no, you're not going to arrest me. And he was stout, man. He was chiseled, and he was, and they said, no, we're going to arrest you, so why don't you just go ahead and let us put handcuffs on you? You're not going to put handcuffs on me. And so he began to fight them, and reinforcements came, and finally they got him handcuffed, and they finally got him in shackles, and they put one of these spit things around his head, and they carried him to the jail. And you have to understand, he was intoxicated, so he was acting crazy. They put him inside this room, and literally they took everything from him. I mean everything. And within about 2 hours, he had sobered up enough. He's just sitting in there in the room crying. Because they made him submit. Now, I'm just going to tell you something. I think I would like it better if God just caused me to submit. Just held my arm by my back and said, you're going to submit to me. And I go, yes, 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 yes. But he doesn't do that. You see, he asks us to voluntarily submit to him. He doesn't sit on our chest. He doesn't hold us on the forehead. Are you with me? He just says, listen, man, you need to submit to who I am. I believe one of the greatest secrets of spiritual victory is whenever you and I get submitted to God. And I believe this, before you go out and you begin to fight, and if you're fighting, remember, you are concentrating on winning. One of the things you got to do is submit your life to the authority of Jesus Christ. I love this scripture. It says, this in James 4:7, it says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Excuse me. I love that scripture. We quote it all the time. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But how many of you all know that that's not the whole verse as James 4:7 is written? I skipped 4 words. And a lot of times as Christians, we skip those 4 words. We just quote the last part of it. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You know what the first 4 words say? Therefore, submit to God. Then you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. You see, this is the reason that there's so many Christians in defeat, because they haven't submitted to God. They say all the right words, but their lives are not submitted, and they get their tails whipped out there. Come on. If you and I are going to fight in His name, let me just tell you something. You're going to be submitted to who He is. He is our strength. And whenever we submit to Jesus, then you have the right to use His name. You have the right to use His authority. I married a couple a few years back, and whenever we began to go over how this wedding ceremony was going to take place, one of the things that the bride-to-be was just very adamant about was that, "Pastor, don't you say anything about wives submit to your husbands. Don't you say it." So in rehearsal, I actually said it, and it made her mad. She said, "Don't you say that tomorrow." I said, "I'll say it if I want to. I'm a pastor." Oh, she was just livid at me. She said, "Don't you say it. Don't you say it. Because I don't believe wives should submit to their husbands." Folks, I want to tell you something. It don't make any difference whether you believe that or not. God said wives submit to your husbands. And the reason He said that is not so that husbands could play some kind of power play over their wives. Now, come on, guys. He says, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Come on. It's not so that we can boss our wives around and say, "Hey, get me the remote. Get me a glass of tea. Come on, woman, do your work. Vacuum right here. It's really dirty." It's not what it's about. But I'll tell you something. God gave husbands the authority seat in a relationship of marriage. He said, "Husbands, you're there." And I want to tell you something, that's bad news for us husbands, because everything that happens is our responsibility. Can I just tell you this? There is no such thing as woman's work, because God made Adam responsible for everything, and then He gave him a helpmate to help him out. So husbands, before you tell your wives, "Oh, this house is a pigsty," you're the reason why. Because you haven't cleaned it. Come on. I'm just kind of telling it like it is. Some of you husbands, I know, you're going to come up there with a chicken leg in your hand and say, "I don't like what you've been bringing." And see, what we got to do is we got to love our wives enough that they want to join in to lighten our load. Now, come on. That's Bible. It's not woman's work. It's all man's work. He has given us the headship of the home. But in order for you wives to walk in our authority, to walk in our headship, you first have to submit. There's not any clapping there. The story, I'm moving on. I'm getting in there. I'm getting in here. It's okay whenever I make the guys mad, but the ladies, they'll get even with you. Let me talk about the Roman centurion for a minute. This is Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to read a couple of verses. It says, "Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to Him pleading with Him. He said, saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.' And Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.'" This is what the centurion did. "He answered and said, 'Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it.' Whenever Jesus heard it, he marveled." Jesus marveled. "And said to those who followed, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel.'" You see, what he's saying is, "I found a man, not even of the Jewish lineage, that understands authority." See, the greatest faith in the world is not what you say, but who you submit to. And folks, I got to tell you, as I have gone through the years, one of the things that I see more and more and more in my life is rebellion. We live in a rebellious world. I believe, and I'm just going to just say this across the board. I believe as a culture, and I'm speaking to everyone here, I believe we promote rebellion. I believe we teach our kids to rebel. And sometimes we teach our kids to rebel as if it's the right thing to do. I mean, we send them off to school and we say, now listen, if a teacher ever says this to you, you do not have to. Let me just tell you something. My kids have to. And if that teacher is 100% wrong, we're going to sort it out later. Come on. Come on. But I'm not going to teach my kids rebellion just because there's one corn-headed teacher in the public school system. Come on. If a police officer ever stops you, you don't have to. Yes, you do. And if that police officer's wrong, we're going to get it sorted out some other way. But I'm not going to teach my kids rebellion. Because you know what? Whenever you tell them you don't have to do it, they begin to think that is across the board. They have carte blanche, and then you look at them whenever they're rebelling against you and your authority, and you wonder why. See, my kids, they just need to submit to all authority. If there's just somebody in the room that's older than them, and they get told something to do, even though it might be horribly wrong, they need to do it. Now, if they cross ethical or moral boundaries, they don't have to do that. Are you following what I'm saying? But that's not usually what happens. We'll sort it out later. But I want you to obey your superiors. Come on. Not a lot of amens there, but that's all right. I can live without them. I mean, folks, it hasn't been too many years ago that this saying came out. Challenge all authority. And that's what we've had. That's been a pervasive attitude that has really crept into the higher learning institutions all over our country. And I want to tell you something. We may not have all the best politicians and the best government, but I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ said that you and I are governed by them nonetheless. The greatest faith in the world is to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's greatest faith. I submit to you, Lord. You're my king. You are my ruler, and I submit to you. My life is under your control. You need to probably pray over this next sentence. Sometimes submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ, it comes in the form of submitting to another human being. You know what we've got in the church today? We've got in the church today where if I as a pastor had to come and bring correction to your life, more than likely you would leave the church because of it. You'd go, I'm not going to have that guy tell me what to do. Come on. I'm going to another church where they're going to love me and pet me. And come on. I'm telling you, this is way better preaching than that you're acting like. I'm going to come down there in a minute and amen my own self. Folks, what I'm doing is I'm not out here riding some kind of hobby horse. I'm out here saying to you that if you want to get inside the battle and you want to win this war, then you're going to have to do some things in your life. And one of the things that it may be is you may need to submit to the spiritual leadership that God has put over you. Folks, if I left the church every time somebody corrected me in the church, I tell you, I'd have a string of about 10,000 churches behind me. I'd probably be Methodist by now because I'd have used up all the AG churches. Come on. First person that got a bite out of me, he came to me and he said, let me just tell you something. You ain't going to do that anymore. You understand that? I've been saved maybe about 10 weeks. And man, it hurt my feelings. I don't even like the way you're talking to me. Then he put his arms around me and he said, I'm going to tell you why you're not going to do it anymore, because I love you. And you're not going to bring that on the kingdom or yourself. You're going to be a man of God. And I heard him. And then I changed churches. Come on. I didn't. I stayed right there. I've never ran from anybody that corrected my life. You see, I believe whenever there's rebellion against authority, you are not covered by God. You're just not covered by God. Anything that's submitted to authority is covered, and anything that's not submitted, and I think you can probably fill in the blank there. It comes down to this. Is he Lord of your life? I mean, that's a question we got to ask. Is he Lord of your life? Why don't we do what he commands if he really is Lord of your life? You may say, Pastor, you're really teaching some hard stuff, and I don't like it. You know why I'm teaching this? Because I want you to win. I'm tired of having to wade out in the water and pick up the debris from the shipwreck. Come on. And you say, well, Pastor, you know, there's just going to be times where we experience defeat. Folks, I want to tell you something. If you can point me to it in this book, I will believe you. But Jesus Christ did not die so that you and I could ever live in defeat. He died so that his spirit could come into us. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And whenever you and I get a hold of what God is saying to us, then folks, I want to tell you, you can live in victory. It doesn't mean that bad things aren't going to happen to you, because they're going to happen. But folks, God can come into your life in such a way that even though it was meant for bad, God can turn it around for good. I'm just tired of so many people getting their brains kicked out. I want to walk in victory. I want to walk in victory. I want to come to this platform on Sunday mornings and say, man, I want to tell you something. I had a couple of one-rounders this week, but in Jesus' name, I whooped his tail. I'm walking in victory because I'm prepared. We only got 2 points this morning, and I'm submitted. I'm prepared, and I'm submitted. I not only want to walk in victory in my own self, but I want you to as well. I'd like for whenever testimony time comes, that there's just tons of testimonies. Just saying, man, Pastor, the enemy came against my finances, he came against my health, he came against my child, but man, is he sorry for it now. You talk about getting mean, I got mean. I bit him on the ankle 18 different times. Yeah, I'm not going to stomp anymore. I stomped with the wrong foot last week, so we're not going to do that. You see, if we want to walk in victory, we're going to have to establish some things in our lives. And first of all, we're going to have to learn we have to be prepared. We got to take some training. We got to learn how to use this sword of the Spirit that he's given us. And we're going to have to be submitted to his lordship. You know, every once in a while my kids ask me why. And I could tell them why, but I don't. I just tell them because I said so. And it's really heartbreaking for them. I want to know why. Why? Tell me why. Just because I said. Just because that's the way it's going to be between you and Jesus. Whenever you are standing on your own 2 feet, he's going to just ask you to do things, and he's not going to tell you why. He just wants to understand that you are submitted to his lordship. We only got 2 points done today. We've got 19 more that we're going to do next week. Well, maybe not exactly. But folks, I believe that this series of messages is trying to help us as individuals. Whenever we've got a child that's out there and they're not where they need to be, let me just tell you something. You do not have to lose them to the enemy. You can begin to wage war against the enemy, and you can begin to wage war about all the different ways that he's coming against your child, and you can win this in Jesus' name. He never intended for families to be split up and some of us to make it and some of us to not make it. Are you with me? I mean, the Philippian jailer, one of the things he said is, you and your whole household is going to be saved. And I've been grabbing a hold of that for the last 30 some odd years. Folks, I want to tell you something. You don't constantly have to struggle financially. How many of y'all know that God wants to bless you? He wants to bless you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. The Bible says that He's going to pour into our bosom. And so we got to learn how to fight. And we got to learn how to win.